We're doing the book Sifat Tamim, and we were up to the footnote. He had quoted a medrash that has many philosophical ramifications. The medrash says that God says, "I created everything in the world except for lies. Lies and cheating, thievery. I didn't create that." God says, "Man created that. I created a world where everything could work out right. And it is man who created the problems that cause things to be corrupt." And so now he quotes the Medrash in the footnote, and it says as follows, "Tse'olman miderech eretz." You can derive this idea from the way normal people behave. When a person builds a house, he doesn't think, "I'm building this house in order to get a rotten couch. I'm building this house in order to bring in a broken down fridge." He thinks, "I'm building this house to bring in good food, good furniture." The person thinks, "I'm buying this house so I'll have a nice fire in the fireplace. I'll have nice candles lit in the house." Person thinks, "I'm building this house to enjoy it." So Hashem says, "I created a world. My intention was to bring in good things to the world. I created a world so things would be good for people, but people choose paths which cause themselves to suffer." Now a person's going to ask me, "What about the handicapped kid?" So it's interesting, there is a Gemara that discusses that. The Gemara in Nedarim discusses that there are certain actions that a person can take with his wife which are unkind, and some are even unethical. And Chazal attributed certain physical handicaps to certain behaviors between the spouses. I don't want to go there. When you're ready for your chassan classes, when you're ready to learn about how Chazal intended for an intimate relationship to play itself out, then we could discuss what.
Well, I might forget the question right
then. It's NC Kedushin. No, actually, it's in Tractate Nedarim. It's non Kedushin. That's a good guess. It's a good try.
NC 17.
Okay, so we'll have to defer conversation. Sorry. So the Medrash continues. Mitoch shem avu al divrei Torah v'al derech eretz b'shvil la'atzilam miyom haba shneimar oy lehem ki nadedu mimeni. And the root of the corruption in the world is that people corrupt. They go against the words of the Torah. They go against what's common etiquette, what's fair behavior towards their fellow men. B'shloshat dvarim yistakel adam b'chol yom. A person should think about three things every day. When he enters the bathroom, so this medrash is really coming off of a different medrash. There's a medrash that asks, why is it that when a human being goes to the bathroom, he leaves behind a bad smell? So the medrash says, God created us in a way that we have a reminder that we're animal-like. And even so, people get haughty and claim that they're gods. Imagine if when a person went to the bathroom, perfume would come out. So the Medrash, that's the Medrash's line. The Medrash says, Hashem created us with this this part of our life, which is very, very base and crass, but it's there to remind us. So the Medrash in Tana de Be'elio says, I'll get to you in just a minute, I just want to finish the Medrash. The Medrash says, there are three points in a day that you could look at and learn from. One is when a person goes to the bathroom, it's as though he's being told, "You see, you're an animal, you see." So, okay, that's one thought. And in those days, it was common practice, like on a weekly or bi-weekly basis, people would let blood. So when a person lets blood, a person should think, they're telling you, "You see, you're flesh and blood." And when a person goes to a funeral, which was, again, par and parcel with life in those days. The average person buried 3 out of 4 kids. The average person buried at least one wife. I mean, women didn't usually live out their husbands. An average man would marry 2 or 3 wives in a lifetime. This goes up until this century. The Chafetz Chaim was married twice, Rabbi Kiva Eger 3 times. Rabbi Akiva 3 or 4 times. It was very common that women died at childbirth. In just one second, I just want to finish the medrash. So when a person goes to a funeral, which again was part of life in those days, so then it's as though he's being told, take a look, this is where you're headed to. You don't take a minute to stop and think and do tshuva. You're spending your time talking idle chatter. It's as though, like the verse says, a person's own foolishness destroys his path in life, and he ends up being upset at Hashem. And this is something that's really phenomenal. The older you get, the more you see it. People really destroy their own lives. It's phenomenal to see. It's very saddening to see. I remember I had a student who was caught shoplifting time and again. And I tried talking to the parents, and we tried a million angles. And finally, I called the parents in. I wanted them to get the hint. And I said, sir, this is the situation with your son. And what I need you to start doing is saving about $50 a week for me, okay? And that's your job in educating your kid. Save, put aside $50 a week. So he says to me, what am I saving $50 a week for? I said, for bail. I said, you know, the next step is he's going to be in jail. So start saving up so you'll have the money to post bail. You think you got me anywhere? Yeah, he was still, what?
Fired.
Didn't get me fired, no. You see this over and over again. There was a guy who couldn't find the job. So we went to great lengths and used contacts and got him a job. And he had a great job. And then one day he decided the boss doesn't appreciate what a great worker he has. So he walked in and told off his boss. Okay, next day he's out of job. Now what? So I'm going to help him find... We did it a second time. We sat and spoke to him, tried to explain to him, got him a second job. Boom, same story. Took 6 months, 9 months, eventually, same story. So you sit back and you say, okay, how you ever help a guy? So one of the great things that that Rav Bigun always stresses is, this is Mahon Meir. We believe in teshuvah. A person can change. It's up to him to want to change. But one of the things you see happening repeatedly in people's lives is that people destroy their own lives. We had a student here who was a top sniper in the army. She was on the top sniping unit in the army. But he had a temper. So when he left the army, he walked into his facade and he said, I just want to tell you what I think of you. And he spent 2 minutes telling him what he thinks of him. So what do you think? The facade didn't take that sitting down. He went and filed some papers and ensured that he was blacklisted in the army. Now, he was learning in the Mahon. 3 months later, war broke out. His whole battalion was going into battle, you know, they're not battle, but to do their thing. And he kept trying to get in, and the army wouldn't look at him. They said, yeah, you could come clean toilets. And he did this again and again and again. He'd always burn his bridges. You try telling a person, look at what you're doing to yourself. No, it's hard to change. But one of the things you see in life is that people repeatedly pay the price. A person's own foolishness destroys his path in life, and he throws his anger at Hashem. Ribbono Shel, what are you doing to me? We have no shame doing that. We have no shame saying that. But the truth is, we do it to ourselves. When in truth, person's lying when he wags his finger at heaven. He's lying, and a person doesn't stop and think, how many times did I lie today? And maybe that's what got me into this trouble. No, I could have gotten away with it. Why did God do this to me? People cheat on their taxes, and then 5 years later, the IRS catches up with them. And they say, Ramon Jean, why'd you have to do this to me now? I had to marry off a kid now. Why'd you do this to me? What do you mean? I didn't do it to you. You did it to yourself. And the examples consistently repeat, and we all have blind spots. That's where a good friend helps us see those blind spots. But very often we're not willing to listen. It's very, very hard. There's a cycle we each enter, and we repeat that cycle throughout our lives unless we could break out of it. And it's very hard to break out of it. Ivelet Adam, the foolishness of a person, to Salef Tarko. That's what ruins his path. But Hashem is Aflibon. The best he does is he gets angry at Hashem. So the Medrash really is coming back to the point which the Chafetz Chaim was trying to drive home, which was that at the root of a lot of suffering in the world is people's own corruption. People lie, people cheat, people steal, and then when things explode in their face, they point their finger elsewhere. When in truth, we have to realize that telling the truth is the basis of success for ourselves. It's in our own interest, and lies catch up with a person. And that was the point he was making over here. There are many examples of this. Sometimes things will blow up in the office. Sometimes things will blow up in a room. And sometimes you want to keep quiet. You don't want to say, I made that mistake. If you do, so then very often you can solve a lot of issues. 6 weeks ago, 6 weeks to the day tomorrow, I was about to board a plane. I checked in my luggage. I was standing at the gate. I had the ticket. And the phone rings. So my mother-in-law is on the phone, and she says, "Don't board the plane." So I thought it was a joke. I said, "Ha ha, we'll talk from the United States." My mother-in-law says, "No, you shouldn't board that plane." I said, "What happened?" "Your wife's water broke. She's in the hospital. Yeah, you have to go to the hospital." So I was still convinced it was a joke. I said, "Okay, Beseder, you'll manage." And then I, after a minute, I realized she was serious. I walk off the plane. I tell them, "Look, I'm not going to be able to fly. My wife's in the hospital giving birth. I can't fly." So they say, "Okay, you got to get your luggage off the plane." I say, "Fine, but do I have to wait here?" "Yeah, security doesn't let a person leave a plane once his luggage is on the plane." So now they kept me there for the next 2 hours. So I said, "But look, I checked in last because we had reason to doubt what was going on. So I notified them at the check-in counter. And then the doctor said, everything's okay, I should board the plane. And then I checked in last." So they said, "Don't worry about it. Our personnel down there are going to find it." So here I was trying to be honest with them. The woman up there wasn't ready to transfer that information down. An hour later, the plane hasn't taken off. It's an hour delay already. I say to her, "Do me a favor. It's already 1:30 in the morning. The plane was supposed to take off at like 12:15. I said, "Do me a favor, call them down there and tell them that I checked in last. They're assuming I checked in first. I got a ticket first, but I didn't check in the luggage first." The woman refused to pass on the message. A half hour later, people are sitting on the plane, an hour and a half delay, waiting for them to find my piece of luggage. The whole plane, you're talking about 350 people are sitting there plancing, and all the people are supposed to pick them up. I begged the lady, call them up and tell them I checked in last. Finally, she agreed. But of course, now the question is, does she say, "The guy's been telling me this for the last hour and a half," or does she say, "Oh, he just walked in and told me this"? Now, if she'd stop and think, she should learn something from this. But more often than not, we like to smooth things over. What difference does it make if they think he's the guy who never thought to say it? Why should I? So she doesn't have to tell them this way or that way. She doesn't have to blame me either, right? I did tell her the first second, I checked in last. Even though it shows on your computer I checked in first, the luggage was actually taken last. So if you stand up and say, "Okay, I made a mistake, I didn't listen to him," so the next time you'll learn from it. If you shift the blame and you say a lie, then you don't learn from it. So then in the long run, it catches up with a person. And these are little things that we see in life over and over and over again. When we try to shift the blame, when we say lies, which we assume are little white lies, what difference does it make? That's what the Medrash is saying. We open openings for ourselves to fool. We create those openings. And then when they catch up with us, we ask ourselves, why'd that have to happen? When in truth, we created it. The Medrash is telling us, Hashem says, "I created a good world. Work with the system. Be honest. Be fair." And you guys will see, when it comes time to filing taxes, it's very, very tempting to play games. To find something that's not 100% kosher, but who's going to know? No, that's not the way to work. There's a man here in Israel who created a system to detect landmines. and this system is conquering the world. There are so many landmines spread around the world that they're saying it'll take 1,000 years to take out all those landmines. And this guy developed a system where he flies a plane, and the plane takes pictures of the emissions from the Earth, and based on that, he could tell where there are landmines. So in South Africa, you have countries that are riddled with landmines. So one of those countries hired him, and they gave him an area of 10,000 square feet, and they said, tell us where you see landmines there. We have this problematic area. So he brings in the plane, and he brings in the equipment, and he has the maps, and he takes it all back to Israel, and he sits and works on it for 2 weeks, and he can't find a single landmine. So he's sitting there going over it, and after the 2 weeks, he comes back then and says, look, I'm sorry to tell you, I don't see even one landmine in that area. So he could have made up one. You know, he never said his system is 100% accurate. What he says is, my system hasn't failed yet. And I can't be 100% sure it's right, but it hasn't failed yet. So he could have made up one landmine. What would have happened? They would have dug over there and not find it. And he would have said, okay, I didn't tell you it's 100% right. It's 90% right. He came back and said, here are the results. I'm sorry, I don't see a single landmine. They hired him. It was a test. That was an area that they had already sent their forces. That 10,000 square feet was an area that they had sent their forces, and they knew there was zero landmines there. So they gave him an area to go research where they knew there was zero landmines. He was 100% honest. He didn't try to play that game. He got the job. And these things repeat themselves in life. When we think it's only a small thing. I told you guys the story about the police. When I was called in by the police, one day I get a phone call from the police. They tell me, we want you to come down. We found your stolen passport. So I was thinking, I don't need that passport anymore anyways. Okay. I said, you know what? They asked me, will you come down today? I said, no, it's really hard for me to come today. I could come tomorrow. So they say, okay, here's the time you should come down. I say, fine. Okay, the next day, that time comes, and I'm thinking to myself, I got a chavrusa. What do I care about that passport? I don't need that passport. I already got a new one. Then I said, you know what? I told him I'm coming at this hour. I have to come. I told him I will. I didn't tell him I might. I said, I will. If I said I will, I have to live by my word. I'm going to go. So it meant killing 3 hours of my day. I go down to the police station to pick up my passport, right? They sit me down. They bring in cross-examiners. And they tell me, you're going to jail. I say, what did I do? They say, we uncovered your ring. We know what's going on. And now if you talk, it'll be better for you. Say, I don't know what you... I burst out laughing. Like, I laughed in the inquisitor's face. Like, what do they call this guy? The interrogator. Yeah, I laughed in his face. I said, you know, good try, but you're going to have to do better than that one. He said to me, you could laugh as much as you want, but you're going to jail. I said, okay, you could tell me what I'm going to jail for. Turns out there was a whole ring that was forging checks, stealing passports, creating bank accounts, forging checks, and this ring got a hold of my passport. And what they were doing was trying to figure out if I was a part of the ring or not a part of the ring. Now, I didn't know that. Imagine had I not gone down for the meeting that day, right? They caught some of the ring members. That's how they knew there was a ring. They caught 10,000 stolen items. This was a big ring acting throughout Jerusalem. And they thought maybe I was a part of it. And they had good reason to think I was a part of it. Because two of the people who were really a part of it were really, really close to me. I didn't know it. I was robbed by them. I didn't know it. Right? But I was really close to them and they knew that. Now, why did I go down to the police station? Because I told them I'll come. I said I shouldn't lie. You know, I said I'll come. Okay? I thought I was doing them a favor. I said I'm not gonna lie to them. I found out that I was very lucky I came. Who knows how it would have played out otherwise. Little things. And when they explode, we think, Rabban Shon, what'd you do to me? It's our own. It's when we do things that are wrong, only slightly, we let ourselves get away with it, and then we blame Hashem. And that's the idea that the Chafetz Chaim is driving home here. We have to strive to be Sfat Tamim, that our language is whole, that what we're going to say is going to be exactly right. Nahum, I'm not sure who was first. You, he was, yeah.